Very glad to be here this evening and to be able to continue in our series of lessons that we began last evening and will conclude tomorrow. And you know, it's always a wonderful thing to be able to come together as we have here this evening for the purpose of taking care of those spiritual matters, to pay attention, I guess, to those things that really are the most important. So many times we get caught up in this world with all of its cares and its worries and its trials and its tribulations, and we often lose sight of what we really need to be focused on and what we really need to be concerned about. And so it's times like these that we have an opportunity to reaffirm to ourselves that truth which we know is true and which we believe and which will set us free in this world and also in the world which is to come. We can be with God forever. So we're very thankful that we can be here and engage in these activities this evening. Now, last evening we said that our theme for this weekend was going to be the subject of success. We live in a day and age in which that seems to be the name of the game. You turn on the television and you see all kinds of infomercials concerning being a personal, you know, a business success or your personal success. In my library at home, my personal library, I have all kinds of books which deal with the subject of success, you know, and on it goes. And so it's something that people are all concerned about because I guess there's that part of us which all of us want to succeed. But at the same time, I find that there's some confusion concerning the subject of success. That is, that sometimes we don't know what it is. Most people, if you were to stop them on the street and say, what is success? They'll tell you that success is about somebody who has acquired some sort of status professionally. It's about somebody who has reached a certain economic level. It's somebody who has a certain kind of house or drives a certain kind of car or wears a certain style of clothes. And you say, I can tell that person is a success. You see, in America, what we've found is that we often measure success by things of this world. That is, that we use the world standard, and we use the things of this world to measure whether or not somebody has truly been a success, which tells me that most people then really do not know the definition of success. Because when you do, when you open up the Bible and you begin to see what God says being successful is all about, guess what? It doesn't include any one of those things that I just mentioned. But yet, that's what most people think that it does. Then on the other hand, here's what I often run into among those of us who are members of the church. That is, we have the word success defined for us by people, like I just said, and we know that that's not supposed to be our goal, don't we? We know that life is not all about making a lot of money or living in a nice home, and sometimes we're blessed with those things and nothing wrong with it, but that's not my goal. So we as Christians sometimes get the idea, since that's the way the world defines success, by having a lot of things, by possessing a lot of material goods, we think, well, you know, that's all my life's about. I'm not going to be a success. Well, if you're not a success, then what are you? Well, there's only one other word that could describe you, and that's a failure. Well, certainly then God doesn't want you to be a failure. And he doesn't. And so last night, one of the things that we set out to do is to establish, first of all, the fact that God is concerned about us succeeding. In fact, we saw in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, how that Joshua was told by God that if he would only remain faithful to God and do all that he could within his power to know God's will and obey God's will, that he would have his way prosperous and that he would have great success. We find that John in 3 John in verse 2 wrote to Gaius and told him that he hoped and prayed that he would prosper in all things and in health just as his soul prospered. And again, prosperity being synonymous with succeeding. So you can see then from the Bible that the Bible tells us that success is something that God wants and something that God expects his people to have. But we've got to make sure that we understand what it means. And whenever you look at it from the standpoint of God's perspective, and you allow God to define the word success for you, here's what we find. That is, to be a success means that you be the person that God created you to be, that you live your life in the way that God intends you to live it, and in such a way that ultimately he is glorified and honored by others. That's what it means to succeed. Doesn't mean necessarily you're going to have $1 million. Now, he may place you in a place where you have $1 million, but if you happen to be one of those who are that way, guess what he expects? He expects you then to take that which you've got and do what with it? Glorify and honor him. It may be that you may be a person who farms. You may be a person who's, you know, sometimes I hear women say, well, I'm just a housewife. I can't be a success. Yes, you can. If that's what God has called you to be, if that's the role that you're playing and you're fulfilling that role in a way in which you honor and glorify God, then you have succeeded. Because that's what success is about. It's not about career, unless that career is such that you use the career as merely a stepping stone to glorify God. You see that? See what we're saying success is? Not about position, unless you view the position you have as being what? An opportunity to be in a place where you glorify God and honor God. The position itself is not the end. The position itself is not what success is. Success, it's merely the stepping stone that God gives us to reach success and be successful. So really then, last evening we challenged each of us to look into our hearts, look at our lives, and ask ourselves the question, am I being successful? And you know, there's a lot of people who would probably answer yes to that question, but not when they define success the way we just defined it a moment ago. They couldn't. They might say, oh yes, I'm successful. I've got a wonderful career. I live in a nice home. I've got a big bank account. Are you going out and honoring God? No, I don't even go to church. I'm not even a Christian. Then no, you're not succeeding. You're failing. You're failing in the reason that you exist. You're failing in the reason that you're here. Success is about you being where you are, being what God created you to be, and living your life in such a way that in whatever circumstance you find yourself, in whatever environment or circle you may be moving in, whatever economic level that you may be at, that you live your life to the glory and honor of God. When you do that, there is no way that you're going to fail. You'll be a success. Now, you don't see too many books that teach this kind of concept, though, do you? Okay, the ones in my library doesn't talk about success in this way, but the Bible does, and so that's what we've been looking at. Now last night we also talked about, after having defined what success was all about, we said that we would spend some time talking about some of the important keys to success. That if I'm going to be then, if I want to be, if that's my desire to be, all that God would have me to be, and live in a way in which I glorify and honor Him, what are some things that need to be in place in my life? And we said last night that probably the first thing that we need to understand is that we are responsible to God for what we do with what we got and where we are in our lives. You see, being responsible means that we understand that we are the one who is in control of our decisions and our choices. And so therefore, as people who are responsible to God, we make decisions and we make choices that are going to glorify and honor Him. You know, so many times, as we pointed out, there are people in the world who really, when they look at responsibility, think of themselves as not being responsible for their circumstances. They think in their heart, you know, well, I'm where I'm at. I can't do this, I can't do that because of so-and-so, because of this thing that happened to me, because of this limitation that was placed on me. And we're always looking at those things that keep us from being what we think we can be. But you know, as long as you think that way, you're going to fail every time because you are not seeing where you are as being the result of choices that you make. And if you can't make the connection between where you are and see that that's connected to the results of choices that you have made, then you can't see that you can now make new choices and be something different. And so many times we say, you know, I hear people say, well, you know, I'd like to talk to people more about God. I'd love to glorify God in that way, but, you know, I just don't know the Bible that well. I just don't have a mind that comprehends and studies the Bible, you know. Don't give me that. What we're really saying is, you know, I'm not taking the time to study it, and I'm not applying myself to memorizing it, and so therefore, I hate to say it that way, because it makes me sound pretty lazy, doesn't it? I mean, you know, I'd like to talk to people about the Bible, but, you know, I just don't want to put the time into it, learn enough of it, tell them about it. Well, people look at you and say, wow, you know. So it's much better to say, I just don't have that kind of mind. But do you think these people that preached just, you know, came out of the womb with all these things they were saying? You know, it didn't just happen, did it? You know, that didn't just occur. I remember when I first started dating my wife and her father preaches up home, and Brother Gerald, and I remember going to church with her and him a lot, and I would sit back there and I thought, how in the world can somebody stand up there and talk for 35 to 45 minutes? Okay. And sometimes I'd hear preachers and say, how in the world can they stand and talk for an hour and a half? You know, where's it coming from? You know, where's it coming from? And you know, at first I couldn't. I could probably go an hour and a half tonight. I'm not going to. We got pizza coming. No, I'm just kidding. You know, but you know, I could. But I look back there, and what's the difference? Practice and study and a lot of other things that I had to, what? Choose to do. You see what I'm saying? Didn't just happen. So we've got to start looking at ourselves. If we want to be a success, if we want to be the person that God made us to be, if we want to be doing what God has called us to do, if we want, in whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, to live a life that glorifies and honors God, we've got to accept responsibility and make right and wise decisions. Now, there's a second key that also factors into this recipe for success. Not only viewing yourself as responsible, but there is a second key, and that is time management. Okay? Because more than likely, one of the reasons why most of us don't live a life that glorifies and honors God is because we're not very good at using the time we have to seize opportunities to glorify and honor God. We look at that glorifying and honoring God as add-ons to our life. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's an add-on. It's like it's a module over here that I've got to add on to my day somewhere. Well, guess what? If you approach it that way, if I approached it that way, I don't have any place to add it. Do you? I mean, you know, really, we get up early and we go to work and we come home exhausted, and then there's this and that, there's kids to take care, and there's things to do around the house, and you know, just to be quite honest with you, if I treated, you know, God as an add-on, I'd never get anything done to glorify and honor Him, because you see, there ain't no place to add Him. But see, He's not supposed to be the add-on. He's supposed to be the very center about which all the things in your life turns and rotates. And for you to be that kind of person, so that you can be that success that God says He wants His people to have, then you have to be aware of your surroundings. You have to be aware of where you are, and you have to be aware of the subject of time. And you have to seize the opportunity. Okay? You've got to seize the day. Because really, in reality, when you start looking at time, time exists in three tenses, in theory. But in actuality, it only exists in one dimension. Okay? The three tenses are past and present and future. But past and future are theoretical. Past is done gone and cannot be retrieved. Future may not get here. Right? So the only time that I can seize, I can't seize the past. I can't seize the future. I can only seize the present. But have you ever noticed how many times that you and I spend our times either regretting the things of the past? Now, I want you to notice what we do. Here we are in the present, grumbling about, whining about, allowing the past to hold us back, and then worrying about a future that may never get here. And what we do is we allow the past and the future to rob us of the present opportunity to glorify God. Don't we? What has been or fear of what will be keeps us from what can be done now from being done. So it's important for us to understand that not only should we, as we saw last night, understand the responsibility for choices that we make, to understand that wherever we are, spiritually, economically, okay, in your relationships, this really gets people to bristle most of the time. Let me tell you something. Just like we said last night, wherever you are in your walk with God, with your wife, with your husband, with your friends, wherever you are economically, are all the results of choices you've made. Okay? If you don't like where you are, then you've made some bad choices then, haven't you? And that means that new choices should be made or modifications to the old one changed. But most of the time we just sit and whine about how we couldn't control it. And therefore we're stuck, we're in the rut, and we never change anything, and we live our life not being the success that God tells us we can be. Second key, handle time. Take time for success. To succeed, you got to use your time wisely. If you have your Bibles, take and turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Because again, this is not just something that's come out of the business world, the corporate world, or from some of these self-help books that people call, you know, in the library on the subject of success. No. What we find is that success is a biblical concept. The principles for success are found right here on these pages. And the idea of time management is not anything new. It originated with God. God was the maker of time. And, you know, time's temporary. Because time didn't begin until Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, when it said, in the beginning. When God spoke and action took place, time started. Now you get over to the book of Revelation, and we're told what's going to happen. Then comes the end. So between the beginning and the end, we see time. Before the beginning, there was no time. After the end, there'll be no time. But between the two events, because that's the way that time is defined, it is the interval between two events. Okay? We have time. Now, me and you are there in between the beginning and the end. Okay? So time's still going. That's where we are. And God says, listen, time is something that I've created. Time is something that I've taken and I've placed all of you all in it. Now, we're not always going to be in it. Because then cometh the end, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And if it's the end, then that's it. No more time. Time is no more. But we still exist, so we exist in eternity. What's that like? I don't know. We've never been there. Okay? I can't comprehend that. Everything I've ever done has a beginning and end. Boggles my mind even trying to think about it. But I know by faith that's what God says will be. So, what we find is God says, now, I've placed you between the beginning and the end, so you are living in time. Therefore, anything that God does, He usually tells us what to do in it, doesn't He? So you think He's going to tell us how to use that time? So that we can be a success, so that we can be the people that He made us to be, so that we can do the things He's made us to do, so that we can use our circle of influence, our unique circumstances, and all of us have different ones, we know different people, we come from different walks of life, with different educational backgrounds, with different opportunities, different economic levels. Those differences don't matter. What matters is what you do in yours to glorify and honor God. That's how we define success. So God says, here's what you can do. In verse 15 of Ephesians 5, He says, see then that you walk circumspectly. Now the word circumspectly comes from the word circumference, which means to walk looking around. Okay?
It brings the idea of going around. So he says, see then that you walk, and in the Bible, the word walk always has reference to progression. Okay? It's talking about the way you are living. Okay? Walk worthy, Paul said in Hebrews 4, of the vocation wherein you have been what? Called. See, God even views us being Christians as our job, our vocation. You ever notice that? You know, people often think Christianity is that add-on. It's part of the subject. So the rest of the week, I'm working school. The rest of the week, I'm at the office.
Sunday, that's my Christian name, especially between 10 and 12. Okay?
But God can do it. He says, really, you want to talk about the add-on? The add-on is what you do
for your career.
That's the add-on. That's because you're preaching all the time. So here's what he tells us. He tells us here in Ephesians chapter 5, he says, see then that you walk circumspectly. So as you go through life, as you live your life, you walk looking around. Being aware. Oh, that's one of the first important things about being successful, is being aware. It's every responsibility we saw last night. Tonight was being aware of your time. Okay? Being that conscious of where you are at any given time. Conscious of decisions you're making at this point in time. And how the time can happen being used. So he says this, he says, see that you walk circumspectly. Not as fools. See, people who don't walk circumspectly are fools. There are people who go through life not paying attention to anything. They just have a wonderful life, and whatever happens, happens. Every now and then, good hits them in the face. But most of the time, good bad whacks them in the head. And they don't see that they're the ones who are in part, control of which it is. They want to say, I'm a victim of circumstance. And we whine, and we complain, and we blame. And nothing ever gets any better. It's not going to be wrong to do that. So he says, don't be a fool. Walk circumspectly, and walk circumspectly. That's wise. Then he adds this in verse 16. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. The word redeem means to buy up. Okay? We have been, and I talk, redeemed. What were we then? We were bought from sin, which is slavery. Okay? You give it up. In this case, what he's saying, he says, giving up your time, redeeming your time. He says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. He says, therefore, do not be unwise. He says, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, which is displeasure, but be filled with the Spirit. And he tells us about speaking to one another in psalms and spirit of singing and making heaven in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always, he said, for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the Spirit of God. So what he tells us then is basically this. Time is important. Redeem it. Buy it up. Use it wisely. Don't be a fool. Okay? Be aware of it. Walk in it with your eyes open, paying attention to it. To do less than that is foolish. To do that without paying attention, just going through life here, there, and yonder, will result in your failure. So in order to succeed, Paul shares some very important points, I think, in this passage. Let's look at them and dissect them. First of all, in order to succeed, we must respect time. Do you see that? We've got to respect it. The reason that time has to be respected is because, like anything that God gives, we need to realize that it's a gift.
Okay? It's a gift. Whatever time I have is a gift. I'm here right now because God gives me the ability to be here right now.
Now, will I be here in the morning? I don't know. We take granted we will. But will we be? Can you say you will be? 100% sure? Chances are you will. There's always that chance. You know, I do know this. One day morning, I won't be here no more. And I'll just say it. Probably not for that morning, that I ain't going to be here before. I'm going to say, I'll be here that morning. You know what I'm saying, Adam? That's the way it is. So we've got to learn to respect time. Because time is a gift from God. You want to succeed, then you look at the time that you have in the present as being something very, very precious.
Paul's trying to tell us that when he says redeem the time. We need to understand that time is also very fleeting. That's why we need to respect it. I mean, we turn around and it's gone. Isn't it? We turn around and it's gone. You know, it doesn't seem like no time that we had Samantha. And I remember when I first started coming to this area, I think the first place I went to preach was in Wedowee, West Broad Street, and we brought some action. And she couldn't have been more than 10, 11 months old. Okay?
She won't be 20. That was 20 years ago. 20 years ago. What else did I get 20 years ago?
But I look at the picture, it doesn't look exactly the other day. I look at it now. Yeah, it does happen. Okay. It does happen. Time gets away, then.
And it's fleeting. So therefore, respect it. Pay attention to it. That's the only way you can succeed. Time's also uncertain. We're not sure of it. Okay. James, really, if you remember in his epistle, turn over there, in fact. Let me show you how James put it. James, you can count on James to put things very, very poignant. Okay? James will just lay it out there.
He's going to tell you how you ought to handle time. Okay? I mean, that pull in budget, you can say it's as plain as you can say it. And you know, when I get to read it, I can understand what James is saying. I want you in James chapter 4 to notice this with me. In James chapter 4, one of the things that we find James saying is this, verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, and buy, sell, and make a gain or make a profit. Now, when you look at that, you think, well, is James against us planning? No, know what does God say you ought to plan? You know, I've got some of those people who say, hey, well, I'm not going to make any plans about tomorrow, I'm going to live into today. Okay? And you need to live in today. If you live in today with plans for tomorrow, if those plans are conditioned upon, if tomorrow comes. Okay? That's the key. If tomorrow comes. But look at what it says. He's not getting on for this. But notice the way they said it. They came in about, they were speaking like tomorrow was a what? A certainty. I'm going to one city. I'm going to buy a jail, don't get much gain. And that's just a fact. And James says, whereas you have forgotten something. He says, you don't know what will happen tomorrow. Well, no, that's true. I don't. You ever had that? You know, I don't know what's going to happen today. You ever have one of those days you got up, you had everything all planned out? This is the way you were going to proceed. From this point to 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 this point. Right? You ever have those days when you didn't defeat any of them ones? Even though you had it all planned out? There'd be times I'd go back in the end of the day at school with them, I do this, and just said, well, I need to stack that day out and put tomorrow's on that because the day didn't happen. Okay? He was old, being trying to be a wise person, I tried to play, but it didn't occur. I don't know what's going to happen. He goes on and he says, for what is your life? He says, think that about even your life. He says, where is even the vapor that appears from a little child and then vanishes away? Now, he says, not only plan, instead, he also says, if the Lord wills, we shall be able to do this and that. Now, I remember when I was a kid, older folks said that a lot. You remember that? You remember when they'd say, you know, you'd be at church, maybe go home, and say, well, we'll see you. If the Lord will see you tomorrow. Or, you know, they'd say, well, I'd be at my grandfather, he worked in the postmaster. And, you know, sometimes he'd come in and ask me this, and he'd say, you know, Lord, I'll take care of that tomorrow. Now, that was more than just habit. There's some wisdom in saying that, isn't it? Because you can't say it without realizing and making yourself at least subconsciously realize that what are you going to say? Tomorrow may not come. You're reminding yourself of that fact, aren't you? Because we have a tendency, if we're not reminded of it, to think we've got forever here in this world. There is a lot of people. More people than you think in this city of Atlanta who really do not even comprehend themselves that their lives will end. I guarantee you. One way I know that's true is look how to live. Okay, they're not thinking about that. But it's kind of hard. If you tell yourself every time you're making a plan, if the Lord wills, here's what I'll do, you've brought God into it, and you've also said, what if? There's a lot of wisdom in that. That's what Janet tells us to do. People who respect time understand that. Old timers used to do it. We've got away from it. You know, we don't hear a lot of people who say that anymore. You know why? Because we're not that God-centered and focused. We think more about what? Us. And we feel like we got all the time in the world we got. You know, all we want. So time is uncertain. Respect it. Respecting time means that you need to realize what it is that drives your time. How you use it. Okay? Sometimes it's our circumstances. And so what we need to do is to control those circumstances. Most of the time it's our desires. We use our time for what we want. And our desires are pushed by our values, aren't they? What it is that we think is important. We desire what we value. And whatever it is that we value, and whatever it is that we desire, we'll use time to procure it. Now, to take that back in concept of what we were talking about earlier about success. What's success? Success is being what you need to be, being the person God made you to be, in the circumstances that God placed you in, so that you can live the kind of life that you can live that will bring Him what? Glory to God. And that thing that you may have need to die, and you may make it any, so you're going to use that to glorify. There's that thing about you have a certain kind of car, but if you have it, how are you going to glorify God with that? There's that thing about a certain position, title, degree, whatever, but once you got it, how are you going to use it? That's what's important. Promote self or promote God. Yeah. Your time, therefore, will come in alignment with your desires and values. If you truly seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, if that's what you truly desire and what you really, truly value, how are you going to spend your time? We're giving glory and honor to God. But if you value something else other than God, your time will be used for that. Well, it's all a matter of what we think is important. It's all a matter of what we want. That's why I said that we respond to the choices we make. If we don't have a lot of time for God, then we show not the time for our time for God. Okay.
So time management is crucial for success. Our time is driven by circumstances, by desires and values. Now, there's some hindrances to doing this and using it wisely and walking wisely and redeeming the time. There's misplaced priorities. Isn't it something how that we can become so consumed with something that if we're not careful, it consumes all of our time? You know, I've really got to watch that. I fall victim to that. I get excited about changes, you know. I like change. I really do. People, you know, you've met those, there's two kinds of people. There's the kind who want everything to make a change for them. Sometimes our priorities get misplaced. Then there's procrastination. Sound familiar? Do you ever have those tasks that you go in and you sit down and you look at and you just sit there? You know, don't want to do this. You know, don't want to do it off. Want to put it off. That's a time waster. We got to watch out for it. Procrastination, our values, those kinds of things are going to really determine what we do at this time and whether we are a success. Now, let me give you just a few things to remember so that you can, before we conclude, know how to manage your time. First of all, you are responsible. Remember, that's why we went over responsibility last night. I wanted to trap you. Okay. Once I got you trapped, I can build on it. Okay? You are responsible for time management. Can't use any of these excuses we'd like to use and say, it's not my fault, I just didn't find time. You made choices that led you to where you didn't find time, so therefore change the kind of choices that you make. Okay? Secondly, pray always. I tell you what, I have found, and you know, we all go through cycles. But you know, when I go through those periods of my life where I'm very fervent in prayer, everything in my life falls into proper place. My time, my opportunity. Then what happens though is those times when I get too busy to pray, everything gets haywire, like a wheel out of balance. I go toom, 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 all the way down through the day, you know, just like I can't get back on it. You know what I'm saying? Pray always. Pray without ceasing, is the way Paul put it. Because when you do that, you stay focused, don't you? As long as you're focused, your time will be put where it ought to be. Thirdly, schedule and plan. Oh, you can't plan everything. But I tell you what's important you plan for. I plan every day for some time to study my Word, Bible. I plan every day when I leave to have some time for prayer. I plan to speak to someone daily about God. Okay? Particularly people that I work with that I know are not Christians. That's my plan. And you know, if you're observant and vigilant, you don't just have to walk up and say, "Hi, I want to talk to you about Jesus." You just wait. Something will pop up. And you can say, "Oh yeah, you know the Bible addresses that." Somebody came into work the other day and they said,
they started telling me what this person was saying about me. And they got through to me. You say, "You didn't know it." I said, "There are many times." She looked at me there. She said, "Nothing. Look, you're not like you are. Answer that." I said, "The Bible says, and you're not a little boy when you fall." She said, "Did you make that?" I said, "Do that, then you know it." Yeah, and I pulled one out, and you know, kind of like when you pull out a Bible at school, it's like to pull that together. They're on my shelves, and they're on my desk, and you know, I got about four different translations. But anyway, you know.
Over there, I said, "Yeah, read it. Yeah, I told it."
Yeah, so answer, move on. So you see, you can work those kinds of things in. You know, all day long. Just listen. And another situation where somebody come in and said, "You know, so-and-so said this, and this is,
you know, what was going to do?" And I said, "You know, he can read his text first, and he might. I said, maybe I'll ask somebody else. He's you know, you can throw those things in. And let them know that those ideas are not yours. You got to learn how to work."
So, acknowledge that. Lay aside, fourthly, the things that would derail or detour you. Okay? There are certain things that I don't do because I know they would keep me from doing what I need to do and what I ought to do and keep me from succeeding. Now that doesn't mean that you can't have a hobby. That doesn't mean that you can't have some time for yourself, because I think that anybody that's ever going to be successful has to have an opportunity to unwind, get away, to rest, back off from everything, even God. And he said that as a pattern for man. For man. We need to walk away from and say, "This is one day we can." I mean, there's wisdom in that. But, you know, there are some times we can get into some of those things for our heart and heart that becomes that which consumes us. You know what I'm saying? I had a couple of those things that I had to purge from my life. I remember fishing was one. Fishing's gone wrong. And I had watched me and my master snags. You know, how's that? I had to get a little fish to see that dog. If you talk about, when I came home from school, I got some poles and tackle box and I had to tell them, "How often did I do that?" You didn't know that ourselves. Came home, I looked at that and didn't even like that. When I came home, and that's about it. It was almost a day. So, one more long line, keep those fishing poles. You're going to be in the orchestra. And I didn't buy anymore. So, you know, I put that guy in the first of the hand. I guess the thing that made me hurt fast is he wasn't listening.
Where's my pole? Like 35?
But we knew that God wants those kinds of things. But listen, God wants us to be successful. But his definition of success, higher than his success, is for us to be what he wants us to be. Fruitful,
abounding to every good work, bringing glory and honor. To do that, you've got to be responsible for your choices, decisions, and as they may be, you certainly is. And then you have to also utilize your power that you have in the right way. Because here, there are two very, very important keys to succeed. If we help you tonight, let me say, if you're not a Christian, there is no success in what you do. In fact, the ultimate failure in this world is to die. Now, that's failure. Is to die without Jesus. So success is about you beginning that walk in Him. Giving yourself to Him. Accepting Him as your sacrifice for your sin. You do that by faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. Ready to walk in Him. And then as members of the body of Christ, we need to understand. Sometimes we get out of focus. Sometimes we don't use our time wisely. Sometimes we don't make good choices. Not responsible. And we let the world define for us what success is. And that's been the case. You look at your life and you think you're successful or not. If you're not,